Turn this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 3. I'd like to read the first 11 verses, the book of Acts, chapter 3, verses 1 through 11, and then we'll read verses 1 and 2 of chapter 4. Acts chapter 3, begin reading with verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat at alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And from that point on, we see that Peter preached to those who were in the temple. And then in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead." Now the first 11 verses there of Acts chapter 3 record a miracle. We read that a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. And these verses tell us how this man had been healed. We are told in chapter 4 in verse 22 that the man was above 40 years old. So we know that he's older than 40, this individual that was healed. The healing miracle took place, the hour of prayer being the ninth hour, verse 3, which tells us that it was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon that this man was healed. You see, the devout Jews would come to the temple to pray at the third hour, 9 in the morning. They would come again at the sixth hour, which was about noon, and then they would come again the third hour, which was about 3 o'clock. And we see that this certain man, which was lame from his mother's womb, was carried. He was carried and laid daily. So every day, his friends or his relatives, every day somebody carried this man to the gate of the temple. And every day they laid him there. And the purpose of all of this was that he would ask alms. He would ask alms of them that entered into the temple, there in verse 2. Now imagine this continued or went on for the most part of this man's life. He was laid there at the temple to ask alms. But on a particular day, something happened. A life-changing miracle took place in this man's life. Luke records this miracle here in Acts chapter 3, again, that took place around 3 o'clock at the gate that was called Beautiful there at the temple. God works miracles all the time. What is a miracle? Well, we know when God made the universe, normally things happen according to what people call the law of nature. Really, a better term that rather than law of nature would be the law of God in nature. And that's how God usually operates. the laws of God, according to the laws of God, the laws that he has laid down in nature. But when a miracle takes place, God works outside of those laws. And that's a miracle. When God works outside of those laws, God can do that. We cannot get too hung up on the laws of God in nature, because we have a God who can work without those laws. And when he does that, of course, that is commonly known as a miracle. So miracles are actual facts of history. They're not a figment of our imagination. They are actual facts in history. What happened here in Acts chapter 3 was an actual fact in history. That is, it is something that actually took place. We're not, again, talking about the imaginary. We're not talking about fables. We're talking about literal and actual events that have taken place. Events that took place with God working outside of the laws that he has established in nature. So everything that we read about this miracle here is real. Now, miracles in the Bible is a book of miracles. The Bible is a miracle. But all through the Bible, we read of miracles. And miracles in the Bible are meant to teach us. They are meant to declare unto us something. And that's what this miracle does, as all the miracles of the Word of God. So as we look at this extraordinary thing, this miracle that is revealed here in our text, know this, that it is a fact of history. Know this, that it is meant to show us something. And no doubt, like all the miracles of the Word of God, they are wonderful pictures of the salvation of a soul. And so it is here. What happened to this man is a wonderful picture of the salvation of a soul. But it also shows us the business of the church. It shows us what the church should be doing while they are in this world. Now, this man, who was above 40 years old in Acts 4, verse 22, who had been lame from his mother's womb, he got Peter and John's attention. We see that in verses 3. And verse 4 of Acts chapter 3, he got their attention. But then, Peter got this man's attention. We see in verse 4, and Peter fastening his eyes upon him with John. So Peter and John both are looking directly at this man. John said, "Look on us." If you've ever seen a beggar, they'll just ask alms. They may not necessarily look at the individual. They'll just ask alms as the people go by. But they got Peter and John's attention, but more importantly, Peter and John got his attention. They said, "Look on us." Now, as soon as John said, "Look on us," he gave heed. And the reason he gave heed was he was expecting to receive something of them. He was expecting to receive silver and gold. So immediately, I mean, this is why the man is there, to receive silver and gold. That's why he's there every single day. So as soon as John says, "Look on us," he immediately thought, "Hallelujah, they're going to give me some money." But that's not what they did. That's what he was expecting, but that's not what happened. Expecting to receive something of them, verse 5. And then notice verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." That's what this man was expecting. "But such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And we want to take the message from verse 6, the thought of it. I want to speak today on the subject of alms for Jesus Christ. Alms, which is silver and gold in the context here, or Jesus Christ. First of all, consider that this lame man is a picture of the condition of lost man. He is a very accurate portrayal of the lost sinner. He is an accurate portrayal of lost sinners that you and I come into contact with every single day. The first thing we see from him, about him, is his condition. His condition was a condition from birth. We see a certain lame man from his mother's womb. So this man was not lame due to an accident. He was not crippled in an accident. He did not have some debilitating injury or illness that caused him to be crippled. This man was born with a problem. And we see that he did not become lame through a process of time. He was born this way. Now, no doubt it was not discovered at birth, because folks don't walk at birth. But sometime after his birth, 9 months to a year, it was discovered that this child could not walk. So he was considered lame from his mother's womb. In other words, he was born with something so terribly wrong that he would never walk on his own. Never. He would never walk on his own. The problem, we read in verse 7, that immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. That's where the problem was. The problem was in his feet and his ankle bones. Something was wrong with his feet. Something was wrong with this man's ankle bones. So he was born with feet and ankles that would not allow him to walk. Again, this would have been discovered sometime after his birth. His condition could not be fixed by doctors, or it would have been. His condition could not be fixed through rehabilitation. It was something that man did not have the answer for. It was something that man could not fix. This man was truly lame, and he was so from birth. Now, you and I and all mankind are born with a nature that cannot be fixed by man. Every lost sinner that you and I deal with on a daily basis, we need to always realize that they have been born with a nature that you cannot fix, that man cannot fix. Every individual of the human race has been born in sin. The Bible is so very, very clear about that. Doesn't matter how cute that infant is a sinner. They are a sinner in the womb. Because as soon as they come forth, they speak lies. They do not become sinners in process of time. They are sinners in the womb. And they are born sinners. Psalm 51:5, the psalmist makes this very clear. You do not become a sinner through the process of time. You do not become a sinner by sinning. You are a sinner by nature. And being a sinner by nature, you sin. So, every individual is born with a nature which man cannot fix. Sinners by birth, therefore unrighteous before God. Sinners by birth, therefore guilty before God. Sinners by birth, therefore filthy and vile before God. We were born with a nature that cannot please God. Romans 8 makes that very plain. So this is the condition of every individual. We were also born with a heart condition so desperate that it could not be fixed by man. People will say all the time, well, he's got a good heart. Well, not according to the Bible. There's nothing good about his heart. Nothing. We read in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful. What that means is the heart is crooked. The heart is perverted. The heart is polluted. How crooked, how perverted, how polluted is the heart? The heart is deceitful above all things. That is, there's nothing more polluted. There's nothing more perverted. There's nothing more crooked than the human heart. And it goes on to say, and desperately, which means incurably, wicked. The heart of man is incurably wicked. The word wicked means sick and sore and sinful. So that is the condition of man. He is born with a nature that man cannot change. He is born with a heart condition that man cannot change. He is also born with a mind that can never understand or discern the things of God. We read in Romans 3 and verse 11, there is none, and that means none, there is none that understandeth. And in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, we are told that we are born with a mind that could never receive the things of God. That we are born with a mind that is blind. That we are born with a mind that is in darkness and that is at enmity with God and cannot be subject to the law of God. So man has a nature that cannot be fixed by man. Man has a heart that cannot be fixed by man. And man has a mind that cannot be fixed by man. All the world can do is throw alms at the problem. And that's what the world does. And we see we're all born with an inability that cannot be fixed by man. We were born with eyes, but we're told that no man can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again. We were born with ears, but no man can hear the voice of God unless God causes him to be born again. John 6, verse 44, Jesus said that we were unable to come to Christ. Left to ourselves, we would never come to Christ. We would never savingly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And no amount of human persuasion can change that. This is going to require a miracle. We also read in Romans 5 and verse 6 that we were without strength. We didn't have the strength. We didn't have the ability. Just like this man did not have the strength and the ability to walk, we did not have the strength and the ability to come to Jesus Christ. That is our condition by nature. That is the condition of everyone by nature. We also see that we were born in a terrible position. We were born in a terrible condition. But we're also born in a terrible position. We were alienated from God. We were afar off from God. We were without Christ, and we were enslaved in sin and enslaved in Satan, and no human power could set us free. We're beyond the help of man. We want to see also that this man's condition, like all sinners, this man's condition was very, very real. This man didn't just imagine that he was lame. He wasn't carried to the temple every day because people imagined that he was lame. This man was really lame. He was really, truly crippled. His lameness was not debatable. No one would debate whether or not this man could walk. They all knew he couldn't. Everyone knew that this man was crippled. And that's why they were filled with wonder and amazement when he began to walk, because they knew that this man was crippled. It wasn't debatable. And man's condition today, if you know anything at all about what the Bible says, and if you know anything at all about human nature, just watch mankind his depravity is undebatable. We see his condition was real. It was not that he was, on certain days, unable to walk. He was unable to walk every day. This was his life. And now, according to Acts 4, verse 22, he's over 40 years old. And this is how he has lived. It was not that he could walk if he tried real hard. He couldn't. He was crippled. And it's not today that the sinner can not sin if he tries real hard. He's born a sinner. It's his nature to sin. This man was greatly affected, no doubt, by his condition. For over 40 years, he lived as a lame man. As a child, he never walked. As a child, he never ran. As a child, he never played like other children played. Because this man was lame from his mother's womb. And now he's over 40 years old. And no doubt his lameness has greatly affected his life. And so it is today with the lost sinner. The lost sinner can't live the life that God would have them to live because of their condition. It's impossible. It's impossible. This man never knew the joy of getting out of bed in the morning and walking. He never knew that joy. He never knew the happiness of just being able to walk from one place to another. And the lost sinner today does not know the joy that saved individuals enjoy. They do not know the happiness. They're strangers to it. His condition never allowed him the liberty to walk from one place to another. And man's nature never allows them to enjoy the liberty that you and I that are saved have in Jesus Christ. So no doubt this individual watched other people walk. Perhaps he could watch his mom and dad walk. Perhaps if he had brothers and sisters, he could watch them walk. No doubt as he sat there at the temple every day, he could see people walking back and forth. He could see other people walk. And he may have wished, well, I wish I could do that. And he may have even, as he saw other people walk, he may have even struggled to try to get up and walk. But no matter how much he wanted to walk, and no matter how much he tried to walk, he couldn't. And that is the condition of the lost sinner. He could not get his legs to function. So every day, it doesn't say that he was led to the gate of the temple. It says every day they carried and laid him at that gate of the temple. Every single day, that was his ritual. Day after day, whether it was warm weather or cold weather, whether the sun was out or whether it was raining, daily they carried this man to the temple. And I believe he sat there from 9 in the morning till after 3 o'clock in the afternoon doing what? Asking alms. And as he sits there, what is he expecting? He's expecting alms. He's expecting people to throw in a little silver. He's expecting them to throw in a little gold. And no doubt over the process of time, as this man sat at the temple begging, I'm sure he received some abuse. I'm sure he received some ridicule. I'm sure he received from some slander. That was his life. But there he sat every day. Every day he sat there poor. Every day he sat there as a crippled beggar. And if you were to walk by him, you could not help but see a picture of loneliness. Sat there by himself every day. You could not help but see a picture of sorrow. And a picture of helplessness. And a picture of hopelessness. But this man is a very accurate picture of the state of all mankind. He is paralyzed in the manner of true living. And so it is with all lost sinners today. They are paralyzed in the manner of true living. There was no doubt, there was no lasting happiness in this man's life. I'm sure when people went by him and threw in a few coins, he was happy to receive them. But it didn't last long. His happiness and his joy would not last long. You know, that's why today the lost sinner always has to have something new. They're not going to be happy for long. Oh, they can have some pleasure in this world, but it's not going to last long. You see, the alms may give some pleasure. We don't deny that. The alms and the things of this world may give you some pleasure, but it will not give you lasting pleasure. It will not fill that void that is in the heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl born into this world. A void that was created by the fact that Adam and Eve sinned. Everyone is born with this void in life. And men and women will search for something to fill that void. But the only one that can fill that void is God. Nothing else will do. So this man, I don't picture him sitting there every single day just glowing in radiance. He's a miserable individual. You sometimes just sit around, for as long as you can stand it, just sit down at a mall or where a lot of people walk by and just sit down and watch. Folks are miserable today. I mean, they're miserable. Miserable individuals, miserable lives. There's not much joy. There's not much happiness. And that's just the way it is for man. But this man's condition also made everything he did, made every aspect of his life difficult. Everything became more difficult because of his condition. That's also true of the lost sinner. So here he is, sitting there every single day. And he is a picture of lost man. So what is the business of the church in regards to humanity? First of all, the world was unable to solve this man's problem. You know, even if someone went further than throwing in some coins and took him by the arms and carried them to their own house and took care of him the rest of his life, he still would have been crippled. People could have been very good to him. They could have been very nice to him. They could have been very kind to him. But at the end of the day, he was still crippled. No one could fix this man's problem. And that's how it is today. You can be nice. You can be kind. But at the end of the day, unless the Lord Jesus Christ saves our soul, they're still lost and on their way to eternity. So all around us is a mass of humanity in the grip of a paralysis that holds them down and cripples them. And all the world can do is give some alms. That's all the world can do. We're not condemning the giving of alms. Don't misunderstand me. We're not condemning that. But that won't fix the problem. Every day this man was brought to the main gate of the temple to beg for spare change. All he wanted was spare change. Silver and gold. Silver and gold, no matter how much the man gathered at the end of the day, did not cure his problem. he was still a cripple. And the next day, he would start his day all over again, still crippled. He did this day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, until he was over 40 years old. This is the way this man lived. A crippled beggar. And the religious world, and that's where he's at the temple, comes into contact with the religious world every day. And all they can do is throw some alms, some silver and gold his way. But I want you to notice also this man expected alms from the religious world. Verse 3, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And then when Peter and John got his attention, he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. So here he is. He's outside of the temple. People are coming, and what are they coming for? They are coming to pray. It was the ninth hour. They are coming to pray. And he is expecting to receive something from the religious world. Here he is. He has never walked. His life is a prison. And you look at lost man today and their life is a prison. Here he is. He is trapped. He is hopeless. He is in a helpless condition. And what does he want? He wants alms. What does he expect? He expects alms. And every day he sits outside the temple wanting, expecting and receiving alms from the religious world. And again, this is a picture of the world today. They are paralyzed. They are crippled. They are living a life of misery. And what is it that they want from the religious world? Alms. What is it that they expect? They not only want it, they expect it. They expect alms from the religious world. And most of the religious world is very content to throw a few alms in the direction of the problem, to throw some silver, to throw some gold in the direction of the problem. But just as the alms, the silver and gold of these religious praying people could not enable this lame man to walk, so all the silver and gold of the religious world will not fix the plagues of man's problems. Will not fix the plagues of mankind. Nor will it ever meet the real problem. Never will. Peter and John had something more than alms for this man. The lame man is looking upon Peter and John, and they said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. They knew that silver and gold would not fix this man's life. They knew that silver and gold would not provide what this man truly needed. And without hesitation, without the slightest bit of shame, and without any apology, they offered to this man what he truly needed: Jesus Christ. Silver and gold have I none, But in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And we see then, he took him, verse 7, Peter took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And when he lifted this man up, those ankle bones and the problem he had in his feet, his ankles and his feet began to receive strength. He began to feel something that he never felt before in all of his life. And suddenly, he's walking. And he walked with them into the temple. He was carried to the temple, but he walked in the temple. A miracle has taken place. We read, not only did he walk, but in verse 8, he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all of these religious folks that were in the temple, they could hear this man praising the Lord. This man knew that it was not silver and gold that gave him the ability to walk. This man knew that it was Jesus Christ. And he could be heard praising God throughout the temple. And they all, no doubt, looked up and they saw him. And they were filled with wonder and they were filled with amazement because they knew, they saw this man every day sitting at that gate. They knew who he was. They'd never seen what they're seeing today. Now he's walking. Not only walking, but leaping and praising God. You see, the Lord gave him what 40 years of silver and gold could not give him. The Lord gave him instantly what man could not give him. The Lord gave him instantly what his own mom and dad and loved ones could not give him. And that is still true today. They simply offered this man Jesus Christ. They knew that the forgiveness, the cleansing, the deliverance, the righteousness, the acceptance that this man needs and that all sinners need can only be found in Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice also that the religious world became infuriated with Peter and John. They were not infuriated because this man was walking. That wasn't the problem. But as you read, beginning with verse 12, and you read through Acts chapter 3, you see that Peter and John began to preach that same Jesus that they offered this man. And in Acts chapter 4 and verse 2, being grieved, they weren't grieved that the lame man was walking. They were grieved because they taught the people and preached through Jesus Christ the resurrection of the dead. So now the religious leaders, the Sadducees, they are infuriated, not because of what happened to the man, but because of the message. Now, had Peter and John just thrown some silver and gold in the man's direction, like everybody else was doing, and gone their way, the Sadducees would have never been stirred to this anger. They would not have been stirred to this anger. But the fact that Peter and John were not content with just giving silver and gold, and the fact that they preached Jesus, that incurred the wrath of the world. May we never be guilty of simply offering alms to dead sinners. May we never be content with just simply offering a few alms to dead sinners. The religious world today, they offer some silver and gold, they offer some entertainment or whatever else the world wants, and they go home and they feel like they've done something. But man's condition hasn't changed. So may we never be content in just simply offering alms to the guilty and to the praised and to the depraved. You see, alms will not fix what ails humanity. In the world today, desires and expects. They desire and they expect the religious world to give them what they want. That's what they expect. They expect it. They want it, but it doesn't stop with just a want. They expect the religious world to give them what they want. And this is what has led to the so-called seeker-friendly movement of our day. The seeker-friendly movement is that simply churches give people what they want. If the people want entertainment, we'll give them entertainment. At least they'll come. Whatever it is they want, if they want programs, whatever it is they want, that's what the religious world is providing for sinners. And sinners are looking to the religious world to provide what they want. And as long as the religious world provides what they want, the religious world will not incur the wrath of man. But as soon as you offer them what they need, look out. Something entirely, entirely different. May it be plainly said that we are not a seeker-friendly church. Did not say that we weren't friendly. Seeker-friendly church movement simply means that we are not here to provide what man wants. We are here to provide what they need, which is Jesus Christ. And they will come in and they will get infuriated because you did not give them what they want and what they expect. But let them be infuriated. What they need today is Jesus Christ. Our primary purpose is not to accommodate our worship to what pleases man. And may I simply say this, and please do not misunderstand me. I do not understand why some people will continually come to a church. I mean, it's not rocket science. Eventually you figure out they are not going to give me, they are not going to accommodate me in what I think. So you know what you need to do? I mean, when you finally realize that Home Baptist Church is not going to accommodate you for what you want, you need to go somewhere that will. Plain and simple. Why would you continue to come to a place that you finally realize they're not going to accommodate all my wants and my wishes? They're only about pleasing God and worshiping God God's way. You know, eventually it would sink into me, well, you know, I better go to a place that will accommodate me if that's what I want. But they just continue to come, hoping, wanting, desiring, expecting the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to accommodate their wishes. Oh, we love to see people leave here happy. It's not our goal for people to leave here angry. We love to see them leave happy. But we're not going to change the message to assure that they leave happy. We're not going to change what we do to assure that they leave happy. This man would have been happy for Peter and John to just throw in some silver coins and some gold coins. But that's not what he needed. What he needed was Jesus Christ. And lost sinners today, what they need is Jesus Christ. And when lost sinners and the wicked and the ungodly come into the house of God, they ought to hear a message about Jesus Christ. That's what they ought to hear. That's what we're here for. We're not here. We're not here to get a crowd. That's not our goal. We're not here to make everyone happy. We can't do that. That's an impossibility. We're here to preach the message that every sinner needs, which is Jesus Christ. We ought to thank God. We that are saved, we ought not want it any other way than to be able to come into the house of God, and you know that every Sunday morning, every Sunday evening, every Wednesday evening, we're going to hear from thus saith the Lord. And not what we want, not what we expect. I deal with people almost every day, and they expect. They expect. You would not, well, you probably would. You would not believe what the world expects from Home Baptist Church. You wouldn't believe it. They're not interested in what they need. They're interested in what they want. But you and I know that the only thing that's going to fix the problem, the only thing that's going to change your sad life, is Jesus Christ. That's the only thing. We're not here to be unkind to them. We're not here to mistreat them in any way. But they need to hear what they need, which is Jesus Christ. So may we be like Peter and John without hesitancy, without any shame. Preach unto them Jesus Christ. Give them what they need, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we pray that the Lord would use it and work a miracle in their life. Brother Larry.